Welcome to the Motivated Creative Podcast, where we dive into inspiring stories and journeys of handmade business owners, as well as giving guides and teachings to help grow your own creative business. I'm Nikki, I'm your host, and every week I'll bring you insights, tips, and heartfelt conversations with passionate artisans, creative entrepreneurs, and business experts. Whether you're just starting out or you're looking to take your handmade business to the next level, this podcast is for you. Hello and welcome back to the Motivated Creative Podcast. Today we have a special guest with us. We've got Sarah Henderson. Hi Sarah, how are you?
Very well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Sarah is a designer and a brand amplifier, which, I love that. We're going to chat today about the importance of design for customer retention. And I'm so excited for this because design plays such a crucial part in keeping the customers coming back. And I think we miss it a lot of the time. We sort of forget about how important branding is. I'm a branding advocate. I'm like, get your branding right, you'll get your customers right. So it's really cool that you're on today and I'm really happy to talk to you about this. One of the better things as well we're going to chat about is how to work with a designer, because I think there's a bit of fear around that as well, getting the right designer, knowing how to communicate with them. So we'll have a good old chat today. I have my drink. Have you got a drink there, Sarah? Have you got, come prepared?
I have. I'm a giant mug.
Which is the only way to serve coffee.
And crafted, not by me. But beautiful hand-carved pottery mug there, so that was quite...
That's what we like to see, independent all the way. Brilliant. So tell me a little bit more, because a lot of people, you know, say they're designers, but a brand amplifier, like, that is a beautiful terminology.
Yeah, so I think for me, what I'm able to do and what I love to do for my clients is it's more than just creating the design, whether that's a visual identity in brand or whether that's assets for social media or a brochure. For me, it's about how do all these things tie together to really amplify what your business is. And I think they need to work in harmony. So for me, it's about often stepping back a bit and going, what have you got now? What's working, what's not, what's representing you in the right way, and what bit of what you're already doing can we expand on? So it's about amplifying what you've got. And quite often, this isn't about a rebrand, although that's obviously a great project to work on, but it's about using what you've already got in the way that is going to connect the best way with your audience, really.
And that's it. I think there's a lot of worry when it comes to being a handmade product, you know, and you have done it all yourself, and there's a little bit of that worry about letting it go. But there's not a lot of teaching, not a lot of understanding about how important it is to your customers for you to have a solid brand. And one of the things, I mean, we've spoken about this before, is how important it is for that customer retention and to keep those customers coming back, to have a synchronized brand that you're working with. So, you know, why do you think it's so important? What is it that makes it so important?
Consistency is really key. I think going back from consistency, I think creating a brand identity and a brand persona that is yours is the first step that's vitally important. So what are the things about you and your business and your craft that is unique to you? Because those are the reasons that somebody's going to buy from you. And those are the things that you really need to speak and shout about. And the beauty of it is, if you get this right, you don't need a marketing campaign. You don't need catchy slogans, because actually, if you're representing yourself on the outside as who you are on the inside, what you're creating, and this goes for every business, but I think much more for artisan businesses, where you're creating something that essentially is part of you. I mean, it's emotional stuff, right? But yeah, you need to share this. You need to understand what that is, and you need to share that. The people who love what you do, how you create, your values, and what you're trying to achieve with the things that you're crafting, they're going to come to you. So I think understanding that in the first instance is really, really important. And then to keep it consistent. And I don't just mean the same colours, the same fonts, using the logo in the same way. All of those things are obviously vital. But it's about your tone of voice. It's about how you show up, both personally, but also on the social media platforms that you're using. It's about creating that consistency. And I think a lot of the time, people can get bored with their own brands, you know, and they go, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to shake it up a bit this week. Great for you, because you know your brand, and you will have an audience who also does and might be able to recognize you within that shakeup. But there will still be new people who are viewing you for the first time who you might be confusing. So that consistency is really key. And actually, I liken it to going into a coffee bar or a wine bar and meeting somebody for the first time. The first time you meet them, they've got a Geordie accent and they're in a tracksuit. Okay, cool. Next time you meet them, they've got a Mancunian accent and they're in cowboy boots, jeans, and you go, oh, okay, totally fine, but who are you? Which one is you? And this is what we do with our brands when we turn up inconsistently. So whilst it might seem boring to you, actually it is really, really important in the way that you show up for your audience so that they know it's you. I mean, if you're posting 4 things on social media a week or whatever, a month, however consistent you are, but they all look different, you might have reached the same person, but they won't know that it's the one company. So
yeah,
understanding who you are first, what you're trying to do with your craft, why... understanding why you're making it in the first place, what it means to you, and then create a brand that shares that outwardly so that the people who resonate with that, that can emotionally connect to your reason, your why, your values, will want to buy your product.
I've been guilty of this. I'm terrible. Like, one of my best brands, the logo is black and white. And I'm not necessarily a black and white person, as you can see by my wall and my shirt. Like, I'm just not. I'm like, so there was every so often I'd be like, oh, let me just put a splash of colour in that. And yeah, it worked for me and it made me feel joy. But you can see when you now look sort of at the history on my Instagram, like it just looks like it just doesn't quite belong there. Like it's just a little bit like just... out of place. And I think there is that temptation, especially with being creative, and I don't know about everyone else, but a lot of the creatives I meet, we all get so bored so quickly.
Yeah,
there is that temptation of going, okay, I'm bored with that logo now, let me change my logo. And you, in that moment, you think it's a brilliant idea, and then sales start to drop off and you get this real panic and you don't understand why. And it's really hard to stay on track. This is why, I mean, I work with designers because it keeps me in check more than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think your energy needs to be going into what you're crafting for your clients.
Yeah.
That's where you need to be putting the energy. So do it right in the first instance, and then you can kind of bank it. It's your foundation then. It's what you're standing on in order to evolve your products and services. You know, create something new in that aspect rather than having to go back and keep redoing or refinishing the brand presence. Get that done and then you can move on and do the bit that you're really good at. And I think that's the point. And I think it's really easy to assume, because I'm an artist as well, although it's not part of my business, purposefully so. I think for me, that's kind of my well-being piece and my joy. And so I kind of try and ring fence that a little bit. But I think there's an assumption that, and for ourselves, but also from other people, that as creatives, whatever that might be, whether that's jewellery or photography or painting or whatever, many different crafts, that we should be good at it all. That we should be able to create our own logo and brand ourselves and be able to, you know, craft the things that we're doing, that because we're creative, we should be good at it all. But we're not. We're just not. And I think it's really, really important to surround ourselves with people that we trust, with people that we energetically get, like people on our own wavelength who are understanding what you want to do, in order to support you in that mission. You know, it is really important. It's also, as a creative, really hard to let go, which I know we've spoken about before, and it absolutely is. And that, you know, that's fine. It doesn't mean that you can't or that you shouldn't. But yeah, surround yourself with people who can help you on your mission and fill in the gaps of the things that you're not great at, so that you can spend your time doing the things that you love, the things you're absolutely incredible at, because that's your that's your magic place, right? That's where you want to try and keep yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. But it is, like you said, it is hard sometimes to let go. And I know myself, and there is that thing of, you know, oh, I'm really good at designing, so I'll just design my own logo, you know. And I speak a lot about branding and the importance of branding to people. I am my own worst enemy as well. I'm really great at giving advice, but, you know, sometimes I mess up my own branding myself. But I do speak about the importance of branding, but sometimes it's really difficult to understand how to get the right person to work with and how to actually work with a designer. Because, I mean, I've had, over the years, I've been in business for, God, 15, 16 years on my own. And I've had a couple of different designers, depending on what project I'm working on, because different designers have different styles, different energy, and they work better with different projects. But there is that worry of going out and actually just giving all of your stuff to someone. Do you have any like guides and tips, advice? How would you find the perfect designer to work with, or even just like know how to talk to them right?
For me, I work best with the people that I'm on the same page with. Like, the energy's right. I can feel that they're ready to invest themselves in the process that I have in terms of branding. And you can tell when somebody's not quite ready, and it's no detriment to them, but I'm like, I can't serve them the best if I don't feel that connection. And it's difficult to kind of put into words, but you know what I mean? You know, when you meet someone, you just go instantly, I'm going to get on with you. I have no idea why, yeah. But there's something there. I would say look for that. Obviously, you need somebody who's got the skills for the project that you're looking for. But that, for me, is really important, because that is going to help the end product in terms of what they're helping you create. I would also say that you don't have to stick to one designer. I mean, or photographer, or videographer, or copywriter, because we all have specialisms, and any good creative will go, do you know what? Yeah, I can help you with this project, but if you want to go elsewhere, that's absolutely fine. And I always say that to my clients, especially my branding clients. Like, we've done this amazing project. You're not tied into me. Obviously, if you want to come back to me and you want support further, I absolutely can and would be delighted. But for me, it's about supporting them in getting the best that they can get. And so sometimes it's not the same person, and I think that's okay. And it's really, that can be quite difficult actually as well, to go, actually, I've done this project with a designer and they did a great job, but I want to use someone else for something different. But I think you have to trust your gut on that. We all have this intuition that I think we often ignore, that we should probably just listen to more. And another thing I would say, and this does happen quite a bit, and I think is actually harder for somebody who is also a creative, running their own business, creating their own items, is let the designer, this is why that connection is so important, is let the designer use their expertise for you.
Yeah.
Don't use them as just a mouse. Like, I want that font and that color and this there and that there, and can you use this image? And let them support you. Use their expertise to bring that to you. So again, it's this two-way exchange for me. It's not singular. It's always two-way. So the designer should be someone that's listening to you first and foremost, looking at who your audience is and trying to help you connect with those people. But it's a two-way street, you know?
See, because I come from marketing, for me, I always talk to my freelancers in feelings. So when I ask them, what, like, right, I want this, but I want people to feel like it's comfy, but not too comfy, but soft, but nice. And like, I speak to everyone in feelings. It must drive them absolutely insane. I do have to warn them, though. It's like, yeah, I'm a little bit on spectrum. I'm kind of mad. You're just going to have to bear with me. That's sort of my introduction to every freelancer I speak to. But it's difficult, I think, for a lot of creatives to really know what they want until they see it. Okay. And I think one of the things that I like to teach people, because I teach people marketing a lot, and that's why my branding conversation always comes into it, because I'm like, you get your branding right, your marketing is much easier. If you know exactly what you're doing and where you're going and what sort of people you're trying to attract, then attracting them gets so much more easier. It's just so much simple. But I always say to them, you want them to feel connected. And I think it's the same. I found it's the same when I'm looking for people to work within my business, you know, on a freelance basis. I want to feel that feeling, that connection with them, so that I can just maybe just send them a WhatsApp and say, I'm thinking about this for the next project. And then that's it. They know. I'll sort of leave them with it. You know, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. I'll speak to you next week about it. And I can sort of almost brain dump. It's lovely to have that sort of connection with someone.
I think it's really important. I think both for a creative client and the creative freelancer, you know, it's all about emotions if you think about it. We're all human to human, whether it's B2B, B2C, all of this nonsense. We're all just humans trying to get on, trying to support each other and fulfill our own dreams. And I think it is all about emotional resonance. It's the same with people to people and brands. I mean, you think about the brands that you bring into your life and choose to, whether you always buy the same car or you always buy the same brand of makeup. It might not be the cheapest, it might not even be the best, but it's because they become part of you. And I think that's what's really important to remember. So your brand is an extension of you, but in many ways, you don't own your own brand. Actually, your brand is owned by the audience that receives it. Their emotional response to it is what your brand is in many ways. And so the understanding of who you are goes into brand building, but it's also about, okay, how do we resonate with the audience? How do we use that in a way that creates the response that we're looking for? But understanding that that can't be constructed by you, it's constructed by the viewer. So how do we create a brand that does that? It's all about emotional connection. Everything is. And branding is no different, you know? But we get so caught up with the brands that we bring into our lives because they represent us, you know?
Yeah.
Like some people I know wouldn't dream of getting in a Tesla, you know, just not them at all.
I see.
And other people, I wouldn't buy anything else because it.
Yeah.
Choices that we make to bring brands in, but also the choices we make to purposefully leave brands at arm's length, it represents who we are. So understanding who you are, but understanding your audience and then creating a brand that bridges that gap is really, really important.
I do love that. We do not own our brand. We might have to rename the pod, but we don't own our brand. Our customers do. And that is so true. And it is that. It's like, I will always say, I'm an Apple fan. Laptop, phone, you know, that's just me. And my husband jokes, like, we don't have devices. We have an orchard at home. We've got so many Apple devices. We're now just growing them out of the sofa, you know? But it is. It's that I've found something that works for me. I trust the brand. That one product I got from them however many years ago never failed me. And now they have my ultimate loyalty. And I will beg, borrow, or steal to make sure that I have their products in every single way going forward. Same with my makeup. I've been buying the same makeup for 20 years, even to the point that they discontinued my shade.
Well, that's dramatic, isn't it? Don't do that.
Honestly, I walked in, I was like, I don't actually know what to buy. I've been coming here and buying the same thing. And then he had to sit down and do a full sort of like makeup session on me because I had this massive panic attack because my favorite shade wasn't there. You know, and it's little things like that. They haven't put together their brand and they're not all there patting their backs going, yeah, that's really good. I love that one. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's always, how do the customer feel? Will that attract the right customers? Are we going to make them feel confident? Are we, you know, bringing in the right level of clients for us? I had this conversation once with someone who absolutely hates Apple products, really hates them, kept saying to me, don't know why you've got them, don't know why you even have them, they're all this, you know, they're just there for the money, blah, 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 all this sort of stuff. And I just looked at him and said, well, you're not their target market. He said, excuse me? I said, you're not their target market. Name one Apple advert you've seen where you are represented. And they're like, and there's still this like real panic because their whole personality was based on the fact that they were rowing with me about an Apple product. And I was like, well, you know, but they're not advertising to you. They're advertising to me because I will you know, record videos on my Apple products. I will edit on my Apple products. You know, I'm there for the creative side of it. So they're advertising to me. They're not advertising to you because you don't like making videos and you don't like talking to people. So
yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think something really valid that you've brought out there in that you shouldn't and mustn't almost be afraid of putting people off. I think there's this kind of underlying idea that we must appeal to everybody. You know, we can't be disruptive and we can't upset people. Not that you'd want to do that intentionally, but you're not trying to appeal to everybody. You're just weakening your proposition then. You know, your value proposition needs to speak directly to the people who are going to benefit from what you're selling. And the other people, it doesn't matter if you put them off. In fact, it's probably good because you're going to save yourself time and energy in the long run. I mean, if you think about employing somebody, you know, you can do 200 interviews, but actually you could have saved yourself time by actually really stipulating the kind of person you want and putting off the people that aren't going to be right for that. And so understand here, no one wants to be water. Like, water's like this innocuous thing. No one wants to be water. We want to stand out for a uniqueness and being different. And yeah, don't be upset about disrupting in the industry that you're in or putting people off, because that's all part of branding as well. Attracting the right people and putting off the ones, or not putting off, but perhaps not attracting the ones that aren't going to be interested in what you've got to sell.
Absolutely. And I say, even when you're at events and you're at face-to-faces and things like that, if someone says to you, oh, your product is too expensive, or, you know, it's too small, or it should be bigger, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing you can say to that. It doesn't matter what you try and make, they're never going to be quite happy. They're the people that are never going to be quite happy. So if you're trying to advertise to everyone and you're trying to market to everyone, it's going to cost you stupid amounts of money and you're never going to get any sales. Whereas if you are specific about, I always say, your customer avatar is so important, even if to the point that if you can find a picture of the exact person that you would like to walk through your door every single day and put it on a wall. And every time you write a post, every time you write an email, you know, everything, talk to them, talk to the person, you know, what do they want? I mean, mine is normally, for my candles, it's always woman between 35, 45, you know, we like nice things, but we don't like paying stupid money for it, but we want a little bit of luxury. At the end of the day, you know, we've put the kids to bed, we've got a glass of wine, we want to light a nice candle that smells just, divine. That's the person. And I have a picture of her. And when I write emails, I write to her. And I write to her as if I'm talking to her at an event. And I think there's an element of that that needs to go into branding, is that, what is that person? What do they like? What are their hobbies? Who, you know, what sort of job do they have? Where do they live? What is your perfect person?
Well, it impacts where you show up for them as well. Yeah, all the different touch points across that journey in terms of how they're interacting with your brand, whether they've been recommended a product, whether their friend has bought a product, whether they've received a gift, whether they've met you in person at an expo and they bought something. What does that whole journey look like? Right through from that face-to-face interaction, going onto your website, viewing you on social media, the purchasing journey, because customer service is all part of your brand experience, right? Like, you've got to be consistent. You can't say you care about the environment and then part of your supply chain or part of something else is actually causing harm. You have to be consistent in your brand proposition. So what does that look like? And even through to when you receive your product, how does that land at home? What's the packaging look like? What's the messaging that goes with it? Is there a bit of fun? Is it witty? Is there a discount code for their next purchase? Is there then a thank you a week later in many different ways? You know, what does that whole customer journey look like? And what are all those different brand touch points that you're able to create for them?
And it's building that entire thing. And this is why I recommend working, I know right at the beginning of your business journey, taking on a designer isn't always feasible. But when you are looking at that growth, when you're looking at the next level, when you're looking to expand, when it goes from a little hobby that you're doing on Facebook to something where you go into events and you're actually, you know, looking at exhibitions and things like that, It is important to talk to someone, a specialist that can, from the outside in, look at everything that you're doing and saying, okay, so this is where you might be missing the trick. This is where you could make it a bit better. This is where you can build on what you've already got. And working through that with someone rather than, because it's lonely on your own sometimes, and it's hard when you don't have someone to just talk to, just bat ideas off.
Absolutely. We all need to surround ourselves with people who are going to help us, you know, and don't be afraid to ask for help either. And I think that's another thing that solopreneurs, crafters, artisans, we all feel like, oh, we start our own business because we're good at one thing, right? And then you realize, holy moly, I've got to do everything and I'm no good at that bit and that bit and that bit. Okay, well, we'll hire somebody for that. But the rest of it, oh, it feels like wasted effort to invest in paying someone else to do it because you know you can. Okay, you might very well be able to do that, but are you going to do it to the same level as an expert? Whatever it might be, whether it's creative or something else, even accountancy, you know, like, are you going to do it at the same level? And is it going to take you 3 times as long? In which case, it would have actually saved you money to have brought in that expert to get a better service in less time, you know, and it's just about thinking it through in that way as well, because time is also a really important part in those decisions, right?
Yeah, this is why we all end up working till midnight, and
Right.
we've all been there. Coffee at 2 a.m., hoping to get through the day. We've all had those moments, but actually, it's not sustainable. And this is where burnout comes in. And I was talking to someone the other day about burnout and how I remember in my first few years, my first sort of 5 years of business, I worked like a dog. I worked so hard, and I was up like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. On top of that, I was a mum. At one point, I was pregnant during that as well. But I'm still up 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to bed before midnight. At this point, I am 90% coffee. I don't even know what water is. And I got to a point where I literally, if you don't sort of police yourself, your body will. And I did get to a point where I was so burnt out, I couldn't get out of bed for a week. Like, literally could not physically get out of bed because my body just went, you're not stopping yourself, so I'm going to stop you. And that was when I realized the importance of delegation and working with other people, not necessarily having employees, but definitely working with freelancers, people that are out there that are doing this every day, all day. They know exactly what they're doing and they can do it in half the time I can.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it doesn't have to cost money. You can join communities and forums where you can ask questions and you can get feedback. There are ways to kind of gather knowledge and understanding with things that you don't, and you know, it doesn't always have to cost money. It can just be building that community around you. Just massively helps. And I know I've said it before, but I think actually if you do find yourself in that point where your body's stopping you, that's the point where you realize it's gone too far. Because if your body's stopping you, then you've been in that space for a long time already. Literally sit down with a list, 4 columns, things I love. Okay. What do you love most? The jobs in your business. And it will most likely be the craft that you're doing. But there might actually be some other elements of that, of the running a business that you really, really enjoy. Put them in that list. What do you love? What are you really good at? They might be similar, but they might be different. What are the things you're terrible at? You're just really bad, and you've tried to be good, but you're just bad. Put those in another list, and things that you don't enjoy. And again, they might be things that potentially you're good at, but you don't enjoy them. You can cross over, you can put the same thing in all the lists, but it's really interesting to actually have a look at that list once you've completed it. See where the crossovers are, and you go, gosh, this one thing is actually in the things that I hate and the things I'm bad at, so I'm definitely not doing that. And it makes it really easy for you to see where you need to spend your time in your business. And I know this has got nothing to do with branding, but actually this is a really important task, and one that I did, and really showed up where I need to be spending my time. And I think more so with artisan businesses than most other businesses is that it's really important that we don't crush the joy and the passion and the love we have for our craft, because it is easily done, and that would be really sad. So preserve that in the ways that you can. I mean, if my boiler blows up, yeah, I could probably try and have a go, but I wouldn't, would I? You just automatically hire someone. And so we should think that way with other areas of our business, and really keep our focus on the things that we love and the things that we're good at, and growing the products and services that we do offer, and growing the ranges that we are creating, because that's going to help you grow your business. Sitting for a day trying to do your accounts when you're terrible at it, or trying to create your own logo when there's no extra insight. It's really hard to do that from a single person perspective. You really do need that outside viewpoint that somebody else will be able to bring you. So yeah, keep the joy.
that is key, because you know, we need to be creative, and you can't do it if you're feeling pressured, stressed, burnt out, under pressure. That's not where creativity feeds from. And it's all about keeping that creativity and pushing your business forward with it. And I always use the term, you know, don't work in your business, work on your business. So occasionally you have to take a step back. And yes, you're making it and it's all handmade, but that's lovely. You'll almost treat yourself as an employee every so often and step back and look at the entire sort of umbrella of the business and go, okay, me making stuff isn't the be all and end all. You know, I also have to sell it. I also have to market it. I also have to, you know, get it out there. I also have to look at events. I also have to grow, you know, all of this sort of stuff. I'm not going to do that on my own. And just, there's no shame in that. I think there's been a load of the entrepreneur saying, well, yeah, you know, I can do this. I do this. I do it all by myself. I get up at 5. I go to the gym. And look at me. I've got so much energy. And actually, it's turned us all almost neurotic in a way. We're all trying to do all these jobs all by ourselves. And it's really, really hard. When it comes to like creatives, though, I mean, you've worked with so many different creative businesses, and you're a creative yourself. What would you say is like the most common mistakes in design that you see from creative businesses or handmade businesses that we should be trying to avoid, especially at the beginning when we have no idea what we're doing, where to start or what to do? What are the sort of common mistakes that you see?
I think one of the things that I kind of see very often, and I think it's an easy mistake to make, is that because you run a handmade business, there's this overriding feeling that your brand should also look homemade. And I think it's easy to forget that actually it's a business, and what you're doing is a professional thing. Yes, whatever you're handmaking needs to be handmade, but your brand needs to allow you to present yourself in a professional way. And so I can understand that it's easy to slip into the word, it's got to look handmade, but I think actually your product is, but it doesn't mean that your branding has to be. And, you know, and I think broader in terms of, not just where you started. You know, I'm a jewellery designer. I'm not, just, this is just, you know, say you're a jewellery designer and you're handcrafting jewellery that's say beach inspired. Everything's shells, everything's, you know, seaweed and kind of, you know, all of that kind of feeling. But you probably won't want to be doing that forever. So how are you going to expand what you're doing, and how is your brand going to represent you through that expansion? So maybe, you know, you start doing different collections, you start appealing to different markets. So it's worth thinking about not just where you are, but where you want to go. And there was actually a lady I spoke to, it was a few years now, and I didn't end up supporting her, but she'd got this amazing company. She was making soaps for horses and for dogs, and it was called Dirty Dogs and Mucky Mares. Brilliant. But there's not enough wit in this country. You know, in business in general, there's always space for more wit, and I loved it. But one of her future goals was actually to make human soaps. And I was like, I wouldn't buy a human soap from a company called Dirty Dogs and Mucky Mares. And she went, oh, hadn't thought about that. So try and future-proof what you're doing. Don't just think about what you're doing now. I mean, it might be that you're an artist, okay, but are you looking to move into fabric prints, into curtains, into, you know, apparel and handbags? And, you know, because if you do want to do that, it doesn't mean you have to, but you don't want to be creating a brand that stops you, that then you have to go, oh, now I need to rethink my whole branding. You want something that's going to be crafted for you that will allow you to evolve, because you will evolve. Like, there's no doubt about that. And it needs to come with you to a certain point. So I think those are the kind of the common errors, is stand back a little bit, which is really hard to do by yourself. Stand back a little bit and look at where you are now, where you're going, and ensure that that brand and that presence that you're working really hard to create for yourself isn't going to not represent you when you need it to the most.
Yeah, I love that. I love looking forward. I'm like, okay, so this is my idea now, but what could it be? And I don't know about you, but I am slightly addicted to Pinterest. So whereas everyone else is sat on TikTok on a Friday night, I'm sat there on Pinterest making a new board about some new idea or something else I'm going to create. But I find it's actually a really great place to look at what else there is, what options there are for you. And what, I know when I was starting the candle business, I used Pinterest a lot to see what was already out there, you know, typing in the kind of keywords that I wanted to create from my business to see what things naturally came up, and finding out through that who my competitors were and also where they expanded to. Because I think that's really important to see what your competitors are doing now and what they did when they first started and how they evolved and what products they evolve into.
I think because it's visual, it really appeals to me. And I think because it's, people think it's just images, but it's not. It's actually really clever, because you create an image and then before you know it, you're reading someone's blog and you go, well, how did I get here? Ah, but it's all interlinked. And now I've got the information that I put into Pinterest when I was trying to find an image. And now I've got all this other information. So yeah, I think just try and pan out and think about how you want your business to work for you, because there are so many different pathways that you can take. And again, this for me goes also back to that core foundation of that brand building exercise right in the beginning, because for me, it's not just about your logo, your fonts and colors. Actually, it's about your tone of voice, your values. What keeps you going? What are you trying to do with your business? What's your mission statement? And it's interesting because my business has evolved. Of course, everybody's business will evolve. And I kind of moved from being a fairly generic creative agency, as in I'll serve anybody, to going, actually, I want to help companies and organizations who are purpose driven. So I was like, actually, I need to rethink how I represent myself, the language I'm using. Oh, I need to go back to my mission statement. Do you know what? I wrote it with the help of a business coach. I went back, read my mission statement, and it was already there. Because we'd done it in a way that brought something out of me that I didn't realise was there, and it was already written in it. I was like, wow, gosh, I've kind of evolved into this that I didn't even know was obviously subconsciously already on my mind. So having that mission statement will really help you understand which route to take, because there's always new decisions to make and new people to work with, new affiliate partners, new freelancers, new clients, new resellers, all these different decisions we have to make. But if you've got your mission statement written down, you can go, oh, I don't really know what to do. If I read this, does it align with my mission? If it doesn't, don't do it. And if it does, absolutely. You can now make that decision to go ahead or not, but keep yourself, make a path and keep yourself on that path as much as you can until you really go, do you know what? This is no longer the full direction. Let's again pan out, have a look at what we're doing in a broader sense. But it keeps you on track. A good brand will keep you on track. It will keep your audience on track, and it will help you evolve in the way that you want to. Otherwise, it's so easy. I don't know about you, to get, you know, we're all magpies, aren't we? Something shiny over here, something shiny. Oh, I can do that. Oh, I could do that. Yes, but is it the right choice for your business? And in terms of the purpose that you set out right from the beginning, what is your goal? You know, so keep understanding all those things, just so important. We don't know where we're going. How are we going to get there? You know,
I love that, because these are like the secret parts of branding that people don't consider. And, you know, we all go, we need a brand. Let me make a logo. But actually, it's that conversation. You're having a conversation with your customer every single day in the way that you portray yourself and the way you put yourself out there. And in order to have that conversation with them, you need to have an idea of what you're talking about. And if you don't have your mission and you don't have your future plan, even if at the minute it's something like, I want a million shops all around the world, and I want to be the go-to place for this product. Even that is enough, just having some sort of vision forward so that you can have something to go, okay, so what does that look like? And what kind of customers will come to me in all of my shops? And how many different countries are actually going to accept me and work with our products? You know, and starting to have that conversation with yourself in order to make sure that the brand that you put together is going to outlast the madness, which is the first sort of 5 years in business.
Yeah.
Like those moments where you sort of sat on the sofa at 2 a.m. going, what the hell am I doing? Why the hell am I doing this? You know, having that conversation with yourself or an expert to get that out of you so that when you put that brand together, you've got at least the next 5 years of a growing business that will work towards getting the right customers in all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, I think important for every business, but probably more so for an artisan business, is feeling like you can go to work as you. And what I mean by this is kind of that you don't have to pretend to be someone else when you're working within your business. You don't have to put any masks on because of the brand that's being created. I now have to dress a certain way. In fact, you know, I've got a friend in marketing, absolutely great guy, very, very talented. He'd come from a very corporate background, and then he realized, actually, my clients are, in fact, 9 times out of 10, they were in plumbing and heating. And he was like, they don't want me turning up in a suit. I don't want to turn up in a suit either. So then he started, you know, he branded some polo shirts and had hoodies, you know, and he felt much more comfortable like that. Yeah. And actually, because he felt comfortable, his audience felt comfortable, because they were like, well, this is just genuinely him. You know, this is how he's representing himself. And I can tell he feels more comfortable. His authenticity gets banded around, you know, so much. But for me, it's just about being genuine and not feeling like you have to pretend to be someone else. It's okay to be you. Because if you pretend to be someone else and someone doesn't like you or doesn't want your product, is that because it's wrong for them, or it's because you're pretending to be the wrong person? You know, it gets really, really confusing. Whereas if you just show up as you and genuinely create a brand that represents who you are and what you're trying to do, then it's easy to just show up and continue to be yourself. You know, you don't have to pretend then. It's so much easier.
Yeah, 100%. And I've seen so many businesses fall over for that exact reason. And it's a heartbreak. One of the reasons why I do what I do now and why I coach people and why I try and get the right information to them is because I've seen so many amazing artisans trip over because they're sort of running towards what they think they need to do, what they think their business needs to be, instead of carving the path themselves of what they are, what their product is, and just putting it out there and saying, hey, like it, hate it, you know, I don't really mind either way, but this is who I am and this is who my product is. And, you know, this is what we're out to achieve.
It's a huge learning curve. It's almost one that you have to go through in your own way. And, you know, and if you find yourself in a position where you go, oh, crap, I've now got a brand that doesn't represent me, or I'm doing something that doesn't really fit, that's okay. Don't berate yourself. Just stop doing that thing. Change the thing that needs changing. And branding and marketing is in constant evolution. You know, it's like, don't wait until something's completely perfect, because it never will be. Just evolve it, you know. And I don't mean in the logo sense, but I mean in terms of what feels right for you, because your market is always changing. Your products are always changing. And so this kind of contradicts what we were talking about earlier, but it's kind of a, don't berate yourself for doing something wrong. Putting a post out that doesn't land, okay, don't worry about it, but understand why it didn't land and do something different next time, you know. So that kind of customer feedback and testing the waters, you will know this, Nikki, with marketing. Like, you'll do something and it won't work, but not because it's wrong or because it's bad, but it just didn't land for whatever reason. Okay, well, we'll try something new, and then you try something new, and then you work out what is the best way to represent yourself. And keep doing those things. And it's okay to make mistakes. You will make mistakes. It's okay. Don't chastise yourself. It's all part of the learning curve, you know.
And it is that. It's a learning curve. It's not a straight line.
Mine's like that.
Oh, mine goes backwards and forwards. It's all over the place. It really does. It's like a 2-year-old with a crayon. That's what my learning curve looks like. But look, I mean, you said that, you know, it almost contradicts what we said, but no, it's just that bit of, we can have an expert that could help us, but we can go out there and find an expert that can help us and leave it in the hands of the expert. But if you are doing it yourself, be kind to yourself. You know, if you are still a solopreneur, you're still in that position where the learning curve feels steep as hell, there's just not enough stairs, you know, to try and go up this hill, don't worry too much. You send an email out, you get someone subscribes, it happens. You know, you're at an event and someone goes, I don't really understand your brand. Okay, it happens.
Ask why they don't understand, what's confusing, and listen, take it all on board. It's not criticism, it's all helpful in helping you evolve what you're doing, you know? Rome wasn't built in a day. It just wasn't.
Takes 10 years to be an overnight success.
Exactly that. Yeah. Find those people that you resonate with. Let them help you. Don't try to control them. If they're an expert in what they do, let them bring that to you. Listen to them. Work collaboratively with them. They need your input as well. Surround yourself with communities and people who can support you, who understand what you're going through. And keep learning, keep going, hold on to the joy of the reason that you started doing what you were doing anyway, long before you had a business. You know, keep hold of, remember why and what you're trying to do and how you're trying to bring that to other people, you know. And I think if you can do those things, then everything else is easier.
Yeah, 100%. That's what we're gonna keep this pod all about, is keep the joy. In fact, I might even change the title of it. This is what it's like, keep the joy, forget about everything else. And it, thank you so much. It is wonderful talking to you. I love having chats with you, Sarah. You're absolutely amazing. Aww.
And it's lovely to be here.
Having those insights. I'm glad. I mean, we'll have many, many conversations like this. I do not doubt you'll be here again to talk to everyone. But these insights just into that designer world and, you know, being a bit kinder on yourself for it. But, you know, it's okay to get an expert. We're not all things to all men. So we just need to take that on board. I think those conversations need to be had more. And I'm so happy that we got to have it with you today.
Amazing. Well, it's an honor to come and share some of my experience and my own failings, because that's what we're doing, right? We all learn those things and that's what we end up sharing. So yeah, it's great to be here. And if somebody gets something positive from this, then our work is done, right?
Absolutely, 100%. If you would like to know more about Sarah or to get any sort of help with your branding, your design, just to reach out and say, hey, what am I doing wrong? Let us know. You know, you can go onto our website, theartisanbusinesscompany.com/podcast. I will get that right one day. And Sarah's details are there with a link to her website as well. So you can go straight on there and find out all about Sarah and everything that she's done. Thank you so much, Sarah, again, for being here today. So next week, we are diving into the world of the importance of quality in handmade products, which, again, we've actually spoken about that today with Sarah, which is great. But looking at the entire quality of handmade products, not just being handmade. And we'll continue to explore the world of handmade businesses. And you can find all the information on our website or follow us on the gram at some business company. You don't want to miss it. Thank you for listening. The Motivated Creative Podcast is brought to you today by the Artisan Business Company. If you enjoyed today's show, please leave a review and share it with your friends. Your support helps us reach and help more creative entrepreneurs just like you. Don't forget to follow us on the Instagram at Artisan Business Company for updates and behind the scenes content. Until next time, keep creating and stay motivated.